And welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Over the last three decades, the number of Americans waiting for organ transplants has continued to outpace organ donations.
According to federal data, an average of 21 people die every day waiting for an organ transplant. And that's despite efforts in all 50 states to encourage people to become organ donors.
So how can states get more people to become organ donors? One idea is to pay them. It's controversial, but a new commentary in JAMA, Internal Medicine, calls for new pilot programs to test out financial incentives in exchange for organ donations.
To talk about the idea, we're joined by Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Hi there, Carrie.
Hey, Meghna.
So it's interesting. JAMA, of course, is the Journal of the American Medical Association. This is one arm of it. What did the commentary say?
Well, it is this very provocative proposition that says if we're really serious about getting more people to donate, we need to really compensate them. And that has been taboo here in the United States and in many countries, and it's actually against the law. You're not supposed to offer significant compensation for an organ. But this Yale psychiatrist, Dr. Sally Satel, wrote this commentary saying that, look, we have thousands of people dying every year. It's time for some disruptive innovation. And what she's talking about is paying real money, like let's say $50,000 towards your college tuition in order to give you incentives to donate. Now, she's not saying cash, right? But she is saying that there could be third parties that could give us compensation in to help us move towards donation.
We pay for plasma, and the United States is the world's greatest exporter of plasma. We don't pay for blood, and we get blood shortages. So this is economics 101.
And by the way, we also pay for donor eggs and for donor sperm, so there are precedents. But what she's saying is important is that this payment would come from a third party, for example, Medicare, which could save a whole bunch of money on kidney dialysis if people got kidneys instead.
So but I couldn't just buy it direct, essentially.
I think none of us want a whole bunch of cash changing hands for organs, because that's how we end up in bathtubs of ice with a kidney missing, right?
Carrie, what other policies are being tried out that show promise?
Well, there are some interesting new policies being tried in countries like Israel and Spain, where they've gone for what's called an opt-out policy, which means that it's presumed that you want to donate unless you actually sign something. Here in America, there are these interesting new kidney swaps and kidney chains, where if, for example, you need a kidney and I have one, but we're not compatible, we could be matched up with another set of people like that, or a whole set of people like that, and that could help make more donations happen. But what came out in the JAMA Internal Medicine paper that was published today, aside from the commentary, is that none of the policies that are being used in the United States are working very well to make a dent in this huge shortage.
Okay, so do we know why that is? Why haven't we been more successful, short of paying people, to get them to become organ donors?
Right. Why? So I spoke with the lead author of that paper that documented the fact that these policies are failing. Her name is Dr. Paula Chatterjee. She's a clinical fellow in internal medicine at Brigham and Women's Hospital. And I asked her exactly that. Like, why are these policies not more effective? Is it just that it's too big of an ask, that basically you're asking someone to do something gigantic and you need to really majorly compensate them?
It's possible that they're not, you know, getting to the public in an effective way, and therefore these strategies just may not be meeting their full potential if people don't know about it. It's also possible that the policies themselves just aren't sufficient enough to motivate donation, exactly as you're saying.
So Dr. Chatterjee gave this example of a living kidney donor. It will cost you probably about $3,600 on average when you take into account that you lose your income for that period and so on. But the tax breaks for living donors are usually just a few hundred dollars. So it just doesn't make sense.
So Carrie, here in Massachusetts, people can sign up to be an organ donor at the RMV. But does the state offer any financial incentive?
Right. No, the state does not offer any direct financial incentives. But if you have a little heart on your Massachusetts driver's license, that means you have indeed signed up to be in the donor registry, which is also a policy that many states are trying.
Okay. Well, Carrie, though, if I understand this correctly, the National Organ Transplant Act, which has established the rules for organ transplants in the United States, forbids any cash benefit or cash in exchange for an organ. You mentioned that earlier. It's not legal. So couldn't giving some kind of compensation, even through a third party, as the JAMA commentary suggests, wouldn't that run afoul of federal law?
Yes. And so if you wanted to try out pilot programs like this, you would need exceptions to the law. And you also would just want to see whether it works before you tried to you know, do it on a broader scale. So that's what I gather this very provocative proposal is calling for, is a way to pilot a program like this just to see whether, in fact, it would really raise donations.
And Carrie, I have to imagine that there are ethical concerns that folks would want to consider. I mean, among them, that low-income people would be, you know, drawn into this program, folks who are desperate for money rather than the broad swath of the population.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And this Yale psychiatrist who wrote the commentary, Sally Satel, says she's very aware of that. And you could try to put in safeguards. For example, you could have a waiting period so that no one in true desperation could instantly go and donate an organ. And you could, if you wanted to, you could put an income floor on it so that you could say no one who is poorer than a certain amount can donate an organ. But then, of course, you would miss out on a whole bunch of people who would otherwise donate. So it's fraught with potential ethical questions. But Dr. Satel is calling for at least starting to look at these seriously instead of just saying, oh, there's nothing we can do but these little policies that are having almost no effect.
Okay, so from a research standpoint, though, what would need to be done next to find out which one of these policies are the most effective to increase the number of organ donors out there?
Right. Well, so there is research being done. For example, these programs in Israel and Spain that have a much bigger push towards opting out, those are being looked at. And Dr. Chatterjee says that we just need to figure out what's blocking people from donating here in the United States. Also, she did find that if you have a...
And welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Over the last three decades, the number of Americans waiting for organ transplants has continued to outpace organ donations.
According to federal data, an average of 21 people die every day waiting for an organ transplant. And that's despite efforts in all 50 states to encourage people to become organ donors.
So how can states get more people to become organ donors? One idea is to pay them. It's controversial, but a new commentary in JAMA, Internal Medicine, calls for new pilot programs to test out financial incentives in exchange for organ donations.
To talk about the idea, we're joined by Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Hi there, Carrie.
Hey, Meghna.
So it's interesting. JAMA, of course, is the Journal of the American Medical Association. This is one arm of it. What did the commentary say?
Well, it is this very provocative proposition that says if we're really serious about getting more people to donate, we need to really compensate them. And that has been taboo here in the United States and in many countries. And it's actually against the law. You're not supposed to offer significant compensation for an organ. But this Yale psychiatrist, Dr. Sally Satel, wrote this commentary saying that, look, we have thousands of people dying every year. It's time for some disruptive innovation. And what she's talking about is paying real money, like let's say $50,000 towards your college tuition in order to give you incentives to donate. Now, she's not saying cash, right? But she is saying that there could be third parties that could give us compensation in to help us move towards donation.
We pay for plasma, and the United States is the world's greatest exporter of plasma. We don't pay for blood, and we get blood shortages. So this is economics 101.
And by the way, we also pay for donor eggs and for donor sperm, so there are precedents. But what she's saying is important is that this payment would come from a third party, for example, Medicare, which could save a whole bunch of money on kidney dialysis if people got kidneys instead.
So but I couldn't just buy it direct, essentially.
I think none of us want a whole bunch of cash changing hands for organs, because that's how we end up in bathtubs of ice with a kidney missing, right?
Carrie, what other policies are being tried out that show promise?
Well, there are some interesting new policies being tried in countries like Israel and Spain, where they've gone for what's called an opt-out policy, which means that it's presumed that you want to donate unless you actually sign something. Here in America, there are these interesting new kidney swaps and kidney chains, where if, for example, you need a kidney and I have one, but we're not compatible, we could be matched up with another set of people like that, or a whole set of people like that, and that could help make more donations happen. But what came out in the JAMA Internal Medicine paper that was published today, aside from the commentary, is that none of the policies that are being used in the United States are working very well to make a dent in this huge shortage.
Okay, so do we know why that is? Why haven't we been more successful, short of paying people, to get them to become organ donors?
Right. Why? So I spoke with the lead author of that paper that documented the fact that these policies are failing. Her name is Dr. Paula Chatterjee. She's a clinical fellow in internal medicine at Brigham and Women's Hospital. And I asked her exactly that. Like, why are these policies not more effective? Is it just that it's too big of an ask, that basically you're asking someone to do something gigantic and you need to really majorly compensate them?
It's possible that they're not, you know, getting to the public in an effective way, and therefore these strategies just may not be meeting their full potential if people don't know about it. it's also possible that the policies themselves just aren't sufficient enough to motivate donation, exactly as you're saying.
So Dr. Chatterjee gave this example of a living kidney donor. It will cost you probably about $3,600 on average when you take into account that you lose your income for that period and so on. But the tax breaks for living donors are usually just a few hundred dollars. So it just doesn't make sense.
So Carrie, here in Massachusetts, people can sign up to be an organ donor at the RMV. But does the state offer any financial incentive?
Right. No, the state does not offer any direct financial incentives. But if you have a little heart on your Massachusetts driver's license, that means you have indeed signed up to be in the donor registry, which is also a policy that many states are trying.
Okay. Well, Carrie, though, if I understand this correctly, the National Organ Transplant Act, which has established the rules for organ transplants in the United States, forbids any cash benefit or cash in exchange for an organ. You mentioned that earlier. It's not legal. So
Right. Couldn't
giving some kind of compensation, even through a third party, as the JAMA commentary suggests, wouldn't that run afoul of federal law?
Yes. And so if you wanted to try out pilot programs like this, you would need exceptions to the law. And you also would just want to see whether it works before you tried to do it on a broader scale. So that's what I gather this very provocative proposal is calling for, is a way to pilot a program like this just to see whether, in fact, it would really raise donations.
And Carrie, I have to imagine that there are ethical concerns that folks would want to consider. I mean, among them, that low-income people would be drawn into this program, folks who are desperate for money rather than the broad swath of the population.
Right, absolutely. And this Yale psychiatrist who wrote the commentary, Sally Satel, says she's very aware of that. And you could try to put in safeguards. For example, you could have a waiting period so that no one in true desperation could instantly go and donate an organ. And you could, if you wanted to, you could put an income floor on it so that you could say no one who is poorer than a certain amount can donate an organ. But then, of course, you would miss out on a whole bunch of people who would otherwise donate. So it's fraught with potential ethical questions. But Dr. Satel is calling for at least starting to look at these seriously instead of just saying, oh, there's nothing we can do but these little policies that are having almost no effect.
Okay, so from a research standpoint, though, what would need to be done next to find out which one of these policies are the most effective to increase the number of organ donors out there?
Right. Well, so there is research being done. For example, these programs in Israel and Spain that have a much bigger push towards opting out, those are being looked at. And Dr. Chatterjee says that we just need to figure out what's blocking people from donating here in the United States. Also, she did find that if you have a revenue pool, which Massachusetts does have, like a dedicated bunch of money that goes towards encouraging donation, that makes a little difference, like about a 5% difference. But we need to figure out better what works with the pool and what doesn't. So there's definitely more research to be done.
Well, Carrie Goldberg is co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. You can find a link to her post on this JAMA commentary regarding ideas on getting more organ donors out there. It's at our website, radioboston.org. Carrie, thank you as always.
You're welcome.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station.
Our show is produced by Amory Sievertson, Emmajean Weinstein, Kathleen McNerney, and Jamie Bologna.
Tim Skog is our technical director.
Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.